angels sing, around the throne shining from, praising heaven's King.
Since Jesus. Well, Jesus, he wanted us to be the light unto the world. City set on a hill, and do your good work for men that they glorify your Father which is in heaven. And to get that business accomplished, of course, you got to be born again and all that, but we need to study the characters of the Bible. I mean, there's such powerful characters. And I picked this out one tonight that I would like to give reference to. Let me just ask you a quick question. How many of you know that Luke was standing right beside Paul when that viper bit him on the Isle of Melita? He was. Luke was standing right beside him when Paul shook that viper back in the fire. But that's why I want to talk about Luke. That's going to be our topic tonight, and going to be a lot more reading and just looking. This will be a good Bible lesson. I'll try to constrain myself on the little points. Preachers like to just run off on good points, you know, but I want to constrain myself here and just let's roll some knowledge. I mean, because Luke is such a character in the Bible, and if you don't know it, you're missing a great, great thing. Because I need to be like Luke. These men, you know, we just like Paul said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And boy, to follow the journey of Paul is a powerful road to walk behind. And you can adopt a lot of great things from Paul. Well, you can from Luke too. So let's take a look at Luke. The first thing I want to do is start in the Gospel of Luke and just read the introduction of the book. Now, one thing I'll tell you right off, you're not going to find Luke's name in the book of Luke or the book of Acts. But I'll show you how we're going to trace him through the book of Acts. It ain't hard because we know he wrote the book of Luke to trace him here. But let's read verse 1 in chapter 1 and verse 1 of Luke. She's a little slow. Sometimes I have to repeat myself, you know. No, that's okay, honey. Luke chapter 1 and verse 4. There we go. Yeah. I've got to... you got to be. I get in trouble every once in a while if you didn't pick up on that. But she's patient. Anyway, that was my fault, honey. I'll make sure to announce that a little better. All right, 1:1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us. That's a lot of conversation right there, ain't it? And then verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. Now, Luke here is telling us that he had something delivered to him from the eyewitnesses. So Luke wasn't around all this stuff, but we got a whole book of Luke. All right. And he said, eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding and all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of these things wherein thou hast been instructed. All right, now let's go straight to the book of Acts, chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And let's read a few verses here. The Bible says in Acts, I cheated. I put my marker in there so I could just flip. So I'll give you just a second. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of them things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, John baptized, and I'm going to stop there, but John baptized with water, but he's going to send the Holy Ghost. All right, so what we got here is the introductions of two books that really are entwined real heavy together, and the character of Luke. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I would just like to ask Luke, did you know you was going to do this, write these books when you was doing, you know? I doubt he did. I'd be honest with you. Luke probably had no clue where all this was going. He just, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was following the commandments of God. And I think Luke is a perfect example of Isaiah 28:10. It's a common verse that a lot of us use, precept for precept must be upon precept, and line upon line, here a little and there a little. See, that's the way we got the book of Luke and the book of Acts. It was Luke gathering this and gathering that. So he got perfect understanding by life study of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ain't that something? To have a perfect understanding because you studied Jesus your whole life. You know, that's why as Christians, we ought to have a real good understanding of the life of Christ. Salvation. I mean, when I first got saved, just to kind of give you, this is nothing I could have done on my own. There was no way I had the knowledge of this. You know, I hadn't been saved too long, and I got to noticing that there was Church of Christ and Methodist and Baptist, and so, you know, that was a little confusing to me. How come we got one? Back then we had one Bible. You know, the NIV was out, but nobody was using the thing around here in the South. We all had better sense, you know. I'm going to blame that on the end. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, back then, everybody had King James Bible. Don't matter what church you went to, everybody had King James Bible. I mean, that was, it wasn't the way he was coming in with something else. But anyway, I was confused. How can we take one book and end up in so many different places, you know? So that led me on a journey, and I had no clue. I collected gospel tracts anywhere I could, and back then, every church out in the country had a pastoral home right next door. And so what I'd do in the evenings when I got off work, I just head a different direction. And I don't care what kind of church it was. I'd just go up and knock on the pastor's house. And I got some strange looks even back then, you know, and I'd have my Bible in my hand. I said, could we sit on the front porch and talk about the Bible a few minutes? And, you know, sure. Well, why are you a Methodist? You know, show me. Here's the Bible. Let's talk about why. Anyway, that went on a 3-year journey. Before the Lord finally settled it, and I ended up in anchoring into the Baptist church. And of course, that's where I was born and saved under a Baptist ministry. But I still didn't take the word for that. I read my Bible. But in that journey, I didn't have the wisdom to do it. But this is what sprung out of that period of time in which I studied salvation doctrine. I just got the Bible and a notebook and pencil, you know, and I started writing that. But I studied processes, justification, sanctification, adoption, regeneration, anything that had a process with it, propitiation and so forth and so on. I'd study everywhere in the whole Bible that used that word. And that's back in the days before internet. You know, you had to use a concordance, and it was a lot of work. Which I kind of enjoyed. But I did use the internet on this. So I had to revise my study here because I just made up what I thought the percentage of the amount of scripture that Luke wrote in the New Testament. And according to the internet, it's 27.5% of the New Testament that Luke wrote. So when you read the book of Acts and the book of Luke, you've read 27.5%. But anyway, God will... But Luke, I think, he was just gathering this stuff up. You know, the Holy Spirit was working in him. So Luke studied the life of Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him and followed him. You know, he said, many have taken in hand to set an order. But he said in verse 2 of Luke 1, the gospel there, he said, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, and ministers of the word of God. Now, so Luke become the greatest historian of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest historian. Now, I want you to think about something for just a minute. Him not being there when Jesus was born, right? wasn't there. How did he have perfect knowledge of? He tells us, and he says, from the eyewitness. Who was the eyewitness? Mary. Where'd Mary go when Jesus was crucified on the cross? Who become the caretaker of Mary? John. Jesus said, behold, thy son. Behold, thy mother. Where'd Luke go? He's hanging out with Paul and John. And the hours he sat down and talked, and Mary told him. Because you got to understand, like, even Luke is a powerful book. It's so much more powerful than we can even understand. It's all the way, go back to the Old Testament, and I believe it's, was it Ezekiel where the four-headed creature was, and they had the head of the ox, and the head of the, was a lion, an eagle, and a man. Those are your four gospels, ruling the four dispensations of time, way back in Old Testament. The golden oil that fuels the golden lamps of God, that which is Old and New Testament. I mean, it's so deep, I can't even grasp that stuff. That's God's business. But what I'm getting at, John was sitting there talking with Mary, and she gave him the perspective of the birth of Christ that come from Adam to Jesus. And such a powerful doctrine, because we find that connection, instead of going for the prophetic gospel being like Matthew, coming from, you know, the Messiah genetics, we get to see the genealogy go from Adam to Christ. But so he's gathering all this knowledge in. I mean, he's talking to all these people, all the apostles. I mean, just, you know, and as they're dying off and getting killed, I mean, but he's getting this information from eyewitnesses, people that experience this stuff. All right, so now what we got is Luke the historian. Think about that for just a minute. I think if we're ever going to serve Christ in the capacity we need to be a Christ, a Jesus historian. We need to study everything we can find about Jesus. And what made Luke such a powerful, and this, his life was divided into two areas here. Now, I want to try to cover them, but him being such a historian on the Lord Jesus and gathering this information and writing the book of Luke, the gospel aspect of Christ, that's the core of the gospel. I mean, love thy neighbor. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. Do you not know that the birds of the air, they don't toll and but your father feeds them daily? You're much more valuable than a sparrow. I mean, on and on and on. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, we get all this. The core of the gospel is the heart of who we are. And then we got the building of the apostles, our Pauline epistles that help us govern the church and grow as a Christian. But, all right, so I believe to be a good Christian, we need to be a good historian of the Lord Jesus. We need to know everything about him, study him out, be able to write a book about him. All right, now, and then the next thing, we're going to travel now. So Luke's name's not even mentioned in the book of Luke once, nor in the book of Acts, not even once. He's not even mentioned. But we can learn a lot about Luke. How are we going to find him in Acts? All right, let's go look in the Acts real quick and make a quick run through here. So now we got Luke, the humble historian. And now I want to look at the second part of Luke, which was a faithful companion to Paul. So we're going to call him one of the greatest servants of the New Testament. And what I'm going to carry you on is a little journey through the book of Acts. And what I want you to do is pick up on poor old Luke is hanging right there with Paul. He's not a John Mark now. He didn't run back when they started casting devils and all that. He hung in there. He hung in there through shipwrecks. He hung in there through all the trouble till Paul's death. He hung in there with him. He was traveling with him when the fellow fell out the window, when Agabus come by. So we're going to look at a few things like that and look at I think to be a good Christian, we need to be anchored to good people and serve God with them. Hang in there with them. Whatever they need, like the pastor of the church, Brother Redmond and his wife, whatever they need, it's done. Get behind them. You got somebody good, you get behind them. Number one, you need to pray. Pray for them. Lift them up daily, all the time. God help them. We need Jesus to be glorified. And that's the way it'll be done. Unify, edify, and glorify. If you'll unify, you'll edify God, and God will glorify you for it. That's the process. All right, so now, all right, let's go through the book of Acts here real quick. I've told you I'm trying not to get sidetracked here. All right, Acts chapter 16, that's where I want to go now. Let's run over to 16, and we'll make a quick run through here. Acts chapter 16. All right, I want to pick it up in verse 9. I'm trying to just section these stories down just to show you where my brain is here. Here we go. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, now what's the next word there? We. All right. See, this is how we're going to trace Luke through the book of Acts. It's just going to be we and us, okay? That's how we're finding. So he said, immediately we endeavored to go unto Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So here, faithful Luke, the servant of the Lord, the helper of Paul, is hanging in there. Now, they just got a call. Paul got a vision to go to Macedonia, and he said, Luke said, we're going to preach the gospel to him. And verse 11, therefore, loosing from Taurus, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. So now we see Luke accompanying Paul to Macedonia, what we call the Macedonia call. All right, now go to 16:13. And what we'll find here is Paul when he met Lydia. All right, 16:13, I'll get there in a second. All right, here we go. And on the Sabbath, there it is again, that's how we connect Luke to Paul. We went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we, there it is again, sat down and spoke unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. That's another, and there's us. So there's Luke again connected to Paul, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. All right, now we're going to shift gears and go to 6:16. He was with Paul when Paul cast out the spirit of divination. All right, in 16:16, the Bible says this, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed, and notice we, I'm sorry, I'll run myself, we went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. There we are again. Now, what we're doing is connecting Luke with Paul. Where he says us and we, that means he was there. They was together and they were moving. He was helping Paul. Whatever Paul needed, Luke was there. I mean, he's ready to go. Which brought her master much gain and soothsaying. Well, y'all know the story. All right, now let's go down to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21 and verse 10. Now, Luke travels with Paul here and weeps about Agabus. What we're fixing to read is about Agabus telling Paul he was going to be in bonds and affliction in Jerusalem. And by the way, Paul was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, none of these things move me. I don't care if they kill me. I'm going because God told me to go to Jerusalem. And God done told Paul. He said, I'll show thee what great things I must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul was not on a journey, a joyful journey, in the sense that the only joy and comfort he got out of this story right here is that he's in the will of God. And therefore, God blessed him for his his life. But he's ultimately going to lose his life. And God told him, the Holy Ghost will tell you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. And he said, you'll appear for kings and governors, and Paul did. It wasn't always under the best circumstances, but he was there, wasn't he? He got to give him a word of God. All right, now in verse 10, and we tarried there many days. There came down from Judea a certain, I'm outrunning you again. Verse 10, and as we tarried there, Paul, what we got here is Luke and Paul together. There many days, there came down from Jerusalem a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, now here again, we're tying Luke and Paul together with that us. He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we, there again, we're putting them together, heard these things, both we, another connection, and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what meaneth ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, this will the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriage and went up to Jerusalem. All right, but anyway, I just wanted to make those connections. So now we got Luke standing there with Paul. So you see how this great historian is able to write so fluently in the book of Acts, because he was there on a lot of these stories and journeys as Paul took his missionary journeys. And he was able to write so fluently the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke, because he had eyewitnesses. He sat down and talked with them, interviewed them. So we're able to benefit from this documentation, this scripture, what we call scripture. And so in my life, Luke is challenging me to be more of a Jesus historian, and to study these things and to learn them. And all right, so now we're going to go to Acts 27 in verse 1. I think it's where I want to go. I get to talk and lose my place. Acts 27. Verse 1. Luke is with Paul as a prisoner here. And when it was determined that we would sail into Italy, and they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. So now what I find here in the scripture is that Paul and Luke are traveling because he used the word we again. We should sail. So he's not quitting on Paul, because Paul's now appealed to Caesar and got to go to Rome. Now Paul's a prisoner. You see what I'm saying? It'd been easy for Luke to back up and say, oh, yeah, hey, this is a criminal. No, he done been down the road with him. He knew what he was. He was a great servant of the Lord. And he saw the prayers. He saw the demons being cast. Luke had traveled this road. And So now he appealed to Caesar, and they're heading to Rome. In chapter 27, let's go down to verse 37 now. I want to get down to the shipwreck. And chapter 27 and verse 37. They'll probably beat me there. All right. And we, there again, we're connected, were in all in the ship 276 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek which with a shore, into the which they were minded it, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldier counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out of it and escape. But certain of the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and to get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. So now we got him giving us this story about the shipwreck. So in 28, let's go to 28 now and read verse 1. And I like the part where the snake bites Paul. That's kind of like the punchline of the whole book. All right, verse 1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the isle was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed, now here we're going to connect Luke again, us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. So now here's old Luke. He done got on the ship with Paul, done had a wreck with Paul, and then had to get on the Isle of Melita. Now they're soaking wet, and Luke's standing around there watching Paul, and they're gathering up wood for a fire and all this stuff. And received us, we're connected again, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffer not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. And in the same quarter were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received, here we're connected again, us, and lodged us 3 days courteously. All right, so now, what we end up here with is a fella who did not sign his name. Ain't that something? Such humility, such a journey. I mean, what a journey. To a historian of the Lord Jesus to sit down with all these eyewitnesses and make historical document of it and carry that around with you and then go on this long journey with Paul. I mean, this is a pretty good little journey, and go through all he went through. And then Paul got killed at Rome, and then Luke sat down and wrote some books. We call them the Book of Luke and the Book of Acts. You know, you'd think the fella would say that Luke would have said, I deserve to put my name on this. After all I've been through, after all the study I did, after everything I've done, I deserve to put my name on this. But let me tell you something. Do you know that somebody else had to put Luke in the Book of Luke? He wouldn't do it. The only place you're going to read Luke in the Book of Luke is when you open it up and find the Book of Luke. It says St. Luke at the top. And somebody else sat down and took Acts and wrote his name as the writer of Acts. We find Luke's name, as far as I know, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. In Colossians 4:14, Luke, the beloved physician. That's what Paul called him. And then Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Everybody else done forsook him, but not Luke. That's what I'm telling you. Good people, hang on to them. That's what God tells us. Serve one another. Ain't that what the Bible? I mean, we could go on about that, but serve one another. Hang on to each other. That's what we ought to do. Whatever you need, brother, that's fine. Let's do it. you know, sister, I mean, whatever, hang on to it. Be like Luke. I mean, Luke got with Paul. You couldn't tear him away. Ain't no way. God done put me with this good man, and he's serving the Lord. Me and him going all the way. He died. Paul died, but Luke kept serving God. I just believe there's a lot to learn. Well, let me give you the other one. I told you there was three. I told you I get sidetracked on you. Philemon, chapter 24. That should have shocked you. Verse 24. Lucas, my fellow laborer. Ain't that something? Paul laid that title, fellow laborer. But I just personally believe to be a good Christian and to be able to serve God like we need to do. We first got to be a good historian of the Lord Jesus. We need to know something about the Lord. Be able to write a book about him. And once we've accomplished that in our lives, I think we're ready to hook up and anchor up and serve together, you know. And that's what we need. It's like the Bible says, let there be no chisms in the body, no breaches. Every joint supplieth a need, an effectual need and a purpose and a part for the whole function of the body. And anyway, I'm going to stop right there because I could go on and on with it. But you get the basic gist of it. Luke traveled with Paul. And you can follow him through there, and the only way you're going to do it, he didn't say Luke and Paul. He just said, Paul, what a humble character. And I think a great challenge to each Christian to follow after what his life's work. We'll have a short invitation. So I'll get y'all to come on up. But one scripture always keeps me going to the Lord. It convicts me. God said to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And, you know, a lot of times I realize you'll study your whole life. And it seems like you don't get to share much of what you study, what you learn. But I always lean back to this right here. I'm going to study to show myself approved to God. That's it. Anything else is a bonus. If I never preach again, I'm not going to quit studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing that work. Well, let's stand and we'll have a short invitation.